Well, after all that joy, we'll speak of a joyous subject today, your sins. We have to figure that, don't we? My appraisal of my sins is that it's a great thing to shout about. They're forgiven. All my old ones, and the longer I'm with the Lord, the more I think maybe my new ones are almost worse than my old ones. After you hang around Jesus for so long, you shouldn't have to conquer your thoughts or have to conquer your mouth. It should just be natural. But still, David gave us a good idea. He said, Lord, forgive me for my secret sins. Sin's a very real thing, but it's no problem for God. That's good news. Like Vicki said, doesn't condemn us. There's never any condemnation whatsoever in the Lord. None. But he just says, turn around, look at me. Just turn. The Bible tells us to turn from our sins and look to him. The enemy tells us, look at your sin. Look at your sin. Just look at it. Just look what you did. Just look what you said. The enemy reminds us that it's like the old story about gossip, where if you shake out a pillow and all the feathers are blowing around and you're just trying to collect all those feathers, you can't. The enemy reminds us, you did that. But God says he can take care of that. And so praise the Lord. In Luke and in Matthew and in Mark, they tell the story of the crippled man who was carried in by his friends, and they couldn't get that paralyzed man in because there were too many people, and it seems as though people weren't going to make a way for them to get in. For whatever reason, they said, fine. And they went to the roof and tore off the roof, which seems a little drastic, and I don't know what it was like to tear off the roof. I don't know what the house was like. But it had to be a solid enough roof for them to all walk on, four guys carrying a guy. So it was no small task to tear off the roof. Maybe there was a little hole to begin with. I don't know. Doesn't make any difference. It says that they did. They lowered him down. And it says that Jesus, seeing their faith. Now, think about that. You couldn't see the other four guys. You could just see ropes coming down. But you see, Jesus sees a lot that we don't see. He understands more than we understand. And it says, in every account, it says, Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the man, your sins are forgiven. Well, even in today's religious circles, how could the sins be forgiven if he didn't even ask to be forgiven? And Jesus hadn't died yet, and he hadn't been raised from the dead yet. How could Jesus say that? I don't know, but Jesus can say what he wants to. And he knows what he's talking about. Whether he was speaking prophetically of what was to come or whatever, Jesus could already say, your sins are forgiven. Since we didn't live then, we can look at some things and say, okay, he was paralyzed. People with disabilities and people with paralyzed and people, whatever their problem was, were not allowed in the temple. So if you weren't allowed in the temple, you couldn't give sacrifices, could you? Now, maybe somebody took in a dove for him, left him laying out front, but I'm not sure, because to make proper sacrifice, you had to do it yourself. And since he wasn't allowed in, he could never do it. So he was living not only paralyzed, but he was living with that legal attitude, that legal thing that said, you can't be forgiven. There are people today that live thinking that they can't be forgiven. And that's sad, and it's even sadder that there are people living today that look at other people and think they can't be forgiven. I deal with up to 100 of those people every week that some people would say, well, they're in jail, they couldn't be forgiven. This week I got a letter, and Vicky said, Roger, can you believe that? This guy wrote a letter, okay? He wrote me before, and he told me about that he was, that someone, I think I mentioned that somebody was reading, doing card reading on a guy. Anyway, so he wrote to me from jail that just before he went into jail, this person had read tarot cards on him, and so I wrote back to him right away to say, you know, don't romance the devil. Whatever else I said. Well, that letter came back to me. And so I thought he had probably been moved on to prison. So I was waiting to hear from him from prison so that I could write to him. And now I get a letter from him yesterday, and he was in jail. He said, I'm back in county jail. In the meantime, when he got out of county jail, guess who he was living with? Whether she's a witch or not, I don't know, but she's not tied up in righteousness. And she had a dream that he was back in jail. Surprised that he ended up back in jail. Now, he tells me this, and then he says, could you get me a Bible? Gave me the website I needed to go to get him a Bible. He said, it has to be New King James. It has to be soft cover. That's the only one that I'll read. They don't have any of those at this jail. I wrote back to him and I said, I think it's time that you quit deciding what you're going to read and that you read the Word. I think you need the Word. I'm not condemning you, but I think it's a little sadder yet that you were living with the woman that was dreaming of you going to jail. You were surrounding yourself with demonic influences, and now you're writing to me telling me that I should get you the Bible so that you can read that Bible. I tough-loved him just a tiny bit. And I ended it with, Jesus is always the answer. That's the same thing. Jesus is always the answer. If you have your phone and that little thing pops up and says that you can have a reading, if you have something that pops up and wants to give you your reading for the day, exit. Don't read it. We don't need it. We have a reading from God for the day. But those things pop up. Not all that often, but every now and then they pop with your reading. It's available. Well, what could be what little harm could be in that? I don't know. Maybe a lot more harm than we know. Just throwing that out there, okay? Your word for the day needs to come from the Lord. Your word every day is, I've got good plans for you. Your word is, don't look at the other thing. Don't listen to the other things. Listen to me. It's good for young, old, and in between. But Jesus said to this man, back on task here, Jesus said to this man, your sins are forgiven. He says to anybody, everybody, everywhere, the forgiveness of your sins is done. Your repentance is required. You have to step into it. You have to show up at the spot. And that's just a fact. Now, the man, we don't hear the guy arguing saying, "What do you mean? How can I sin? I'm paralyzed." We don't hear anything, you know, we don't hear anything about if the man said anything. We don't hear, we don't know. We can imagine, okay, if we imagine from the standpoint that we know Jesus from, we can imagine that guy kind of lighting up. I'm forgiven. The religious people, they didn't like that. Who do you think you are forgiving sins? Only God can forgive sins. Jesus says, good point. Just to show you that not only can I forgive sins, get up and walk. So now we have two things that only God can do, forgive sins and heal people. And Jesus passed that power on to us through the Holy Spirit. I can't give anybody absolution, but I can tell anybody everywhere, anytime, your sins are taken care of. If you'd like it. It's like telling somebody, it's like telling somebody at a restaurant your meal is paid for. Go ahead and order. They still have to order. They have to believe that it's paid for. They might check with the waitress and say, is my meal really paid for? Yes, that gentleman over there that told you your meal is paid for, it's paid for. And then they have to order. Our sins were paid for. We have to receive forgiveness. But then after we receive forgiveness, we need to believe we've received forgiveness and now go on. There was no physical proof of what the guy felt about his sins being forgiven. But there was proof of what he felt like about being healed. It says that he got up and he went home praising God. Would have he gone home praising God if all he got was forgiven? We don't ever have to figure that out, do we? Because we don't know. But we can have the proper attitude toward forgiveness now. We can be very, very grateful. We can rejoice in our salvation. You know, we can rejoice in our salvation. Just like we can rejoice when the Holy Spirit within us says, I like that song. You don't have to know the song. Just start praising. If you don't know the words, sing your own words. Get in there with it. Rejoice. 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 That guy went home with a double reason to rejoice. I think that it's quite possible that there's a whole lot of people that have never really, really, really rejoiced in their forgiveness. Just sort of laid there, paralyzed. Oh, okay. Good deal. Bible says those who are forgiven much love much. Everybody forgiven anything should love a lot, right? If we're aware of what there is in that, it's not even so much of you know, realizing the price he paid, but okay, we're in Memorial Day weekend, okay? And we are fortunate to live in a town where we have a Memorial Day program where we remember. You know, but let's be honest, how many people do you think have ever been at the Memorial Day program that never once got tired of the reading of the names? I mean, really? Hey, it's a fact. We have to fight the good fight to go, hey, wait a minute. They deserve to have their names read. And next year, there might be more names. But thank God that there's a day that we do remember that somebody, that there was a different sort of people. It's scary today to think how the number of people who might rise up to fight for this country has shrunk. It's scary, really, to think about how many Christians don't rise up to walk in and declare the goodness of God. Our lives are intended to be a picture of the goodness of God. We are not overwhelmed by circumstances. We remember that God is able. We are pressed down, but we aren't crushed. I mean, if you were in one of those car crusher things, and you managed to get out after it was crushed, you would be one excited person. That it didn't crush far enough and that you were thin enough and you were still laying there and somebody could hear you and they could cut you out of that thing. Boy, you would be excited about being out of that. Well, we are pressed, but we aren't crushed. It's a good day because God is good. Right? You see, but if we don't remind ourselves of that, then we don't think of that. If we don't feel that way about it, then it's not a big deal. But there are reminders all around us to think about what we've got. See, we have the opportunity when the news and with everything else, and, you know, I mean, there's some people that are just scared. I saw something the other day that talked about that this new Green Deal is scaring little kids. Because they don't understand that it's mostly, no, it's not mostly, it's all nonsense. They understand that this person who's on TV that is supposed to be somebody that we think a lot of is saying, this world's going to end in 12 years. What are we going to do? Don't worry about it. Praise the Lord. Look at it this way, if the world ends in 12 years, you'll be with Jesus. There's a lot of lies in the world. And there may be some truth in the lies, but we are only supposed to adhere to the one truth. The truth to this man was his sins were forgiven. Now, like we said, he raced home praising God. But after he got done praising God for his healing, do you suppose, or maybe even in the midst of it, whoa, I hit the daily double. My sins are forgiven and I got healed. This is a great day. You know, James said that if we pray, if we call for the elders and they pray, they lay hands on the sick, that they'll be healed and their sins will be forgiven. Jesus said to the people gathered when they brought the woman caught in adultery, he said, whoever is without sin, throw the first stone. Nobody here is without sin. Right now we probably are pretty good. This isn't to make us sin conscious. This isn't to have us going, oh man, did I sin? We got the secret sins covered. What I'm saying is that, hey, it's covered. It's something to rejoice in. And it's something he told the one man, he met him in the temple. He said, now go and sin no more. What was the guy doing? Was he back in the temple pretending to need handouts? Who knows? But Jesus said, just go and see that you sin no more. Every time that we confess our sins, he forgives us our sins, and the Holy Spirit says, okay, now sin no more. And if we sin again, the Holy Spirit says, come on, you can do this. Get up, get up, get up, get up, but don't sin anymore. That's not mean to tell somebody not to sin anymore. We know we shouldn't sin, don't we? We might try to categorize our sins. Big, little, littler, barely noticeable. But do we really want to try to treat them like we've categorized them and risk keeping them? Do we have a little sin we'd like to keep? Or do we have a little sin that we'd like to overcome? It's possible for us to keep them until they trouble us so much we want to overcome them. But maybe if we overcome them sooner, they won't get us to a troubled place. These are cares that we have to cast on God because he cares for us. We're free from sin, but we're maybe not without sin. But only you know that, and it's nobody else's business. I don't need to know. I don't want to know your sins. I don't want to decide if I do know your sins. Do you? See, we have to be cautious that we're not busy in other people's sins. Man, I'll tell you what. You have to fight, I have to fight the good fight of faith when I hear some news stories. and get myself to say, God help them. They're a train wreck. And sometimes I say, Lord, I'm glad you're more patient than I am. And sometimes I just have to say, God, forgive me what I just thought. Forgive me, Lord. Because it's not my business. Just like it wasn't those religious leaders' business about if Jesus could forgive the guy's sins or not. It was up to them by then to just say, you know, let's learn from this guy. Let's learn from God. Let's just learn, because if any man is found in Christ, they are a new creature. So, why does the old creature? Why is the old creature so busy trying to get up? Because we have a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Hey, the good news is we're forgiven in Christ. That's the good news. It's a sad day when we have to remember everybody who gave their lives fighting or has died since they gave their lives fighting, but the good news is they fought for a good cause. And we live for a good cause. Christ. And whatsoever we do in this world, we can do as unto Christ. And what we don't do rightly as unto Christ, we can erase it with a simple thing like a prayer. We don't have to go buy a bull and sacrifice it. We don't have to get a goat and send it out into the wilderness. We don't have to have a dove. We don't have to have anything like that. We can't pay to be forgiven. We can't be prayed for by other people to be forgiven. We can just be forgiven by going to God. Paul once said, consider your ways. Just give some thought to it once in a while. Give some thought to the freedoms that we have in Christ. Give some thought to the freedom that we have because we give ourselves to Christ. Give some thought to those things once in a while and go home praising the Lord. Take the time to say thank you, Jesus. Don't be a thank you, Lord, one like the Pharisee that stood there and said, I thank you, God, that I'm not a sinner like this person. We don't know how tormented people are. It's just like this young man that wrote to me. You know, he should be smarter than that. But God help him. Jesus is still the answer. And a lot of people shouldn't do the things that they do, but God help them. Jesus is the answer. Through it all, my eyes are on you, Lord. That's a good song. My eyes are on you, Lord. My eyes are on you, Lord. My eyes are on you, Lord. You know, some people could take a testimony like Vicky's about, I was just there in that music and I just felt like I had to raise my hands, and they'd say, you must have had some kind of sin going on that you felt like worshiping like that. I wonder what sin was in your heart. I mean, really? That's how some people would think. I mean, if you're excited about God, you must have been a mess. No. Yeah, I was. I was. I love that. I was. I was. Oh, but I'm not anymore. Okay, I'll quit. Hallelujah. You know, I mean, have you been excited lately? Have you ever been excited about God? It's a great deal. It's a great deal. Your sins are your sins. And your sins were paid for on the cross. And your sins are the only ones that you need to pay any attention to. And the same answer is for your sins and everybody else's sins. Pray. And give thanks to God. Our God and King. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. Because His love endures forever. That's good news. Right? Yeah. Hallelujah. That's good news. That's good news. That's better than good news. That's the best news ever. And what a day it is when that bursts forth in our heart. Just like what a day it is when we realize how much the Holy Spirit loves to worship. And that we always have to remind us so that we can always continue on. This wonderfulness of God. It's just so amazing. And when we draw near to Him, He draws near to us. And if we abide in Him and His Word abides in us, we know the truth. And the truth makes us free. The truth is we are free. We are free. We have an eternal armband into the greatest amusement park ever. Lifetime membership. I looked at an email last night and it said, "Hey, we'll give you back the membership you paid for. You can upgrade to a lifetime membership." I don't need a lifetime membership in that. I got a lifetime membership in something better. But you see, it's just always trying to add something to the deal. Well, God has added everything all at once. He just says, explore it. Amen. Explore it. Explore the fullness of your salvation. Get into it. Enjoy it. Love it. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. We are forgiven. Everything are forgiven. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for making a way for us all to be forgiven. Bless everyone here, Lord. Bless everyone that ever hears this. Bless all of those who passed before us. Bless those who serve now. This Memorial Day weekend, we build our monument unto you. Monument unto you, Lord, that says thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.